opportunities. Ask yourself how often we forget that opportunities don't last forever. Do you see masjid attendance? If you ask yourself, I want to come to the masjid, is this a responsibility or is it a privilege? Do you feel like coming to the masjid is something that is a burden or is a beautiful joy that you have the opportunity to be the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ says, من توضأ في بيته فأحسن الوضوء ثم أتى المسجد فهو زائر الله وحق على المزور أن يكرم الزائر. Whoever performs wudu well in his home and thereafter comes to the masjid, he is the guest of Allah Ta'ala. And it is a duty upon the host to honor the guest. SubhanAllah. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And it's an opportunity that every single day you have one day less to visit the masjid. So if you never make it to the masjid, it may be perhaps that you're saying to yourself, well, I'm too busy. I'm too busy for God. A'udhu billah. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe you're just not welcome. This is a consideration we have to think about. What good is all of the success and all of the wealth and all of the work and all of the status if you can't make time to get closer to your Lord before you die? What good is it? And inside the masjid, not just coming to the masjid, but then when you actually reach inside the masjid, there are other opportunities that present themselves. And those opportunities, again, they do not last forever. We had certain sports that they came, we tried to advertise, and then since participation was low, it ended. And what I find fascinating is when young men come up to me and say, oh, it's so sad. It ended, really? When's it going to be back? And I feel like the question reveals so much. I think that our youth are a little bit too used to growing up in a very privileged, well-to-do home where they could get as many toys as they like. They could neglect those toys. They could break those toys. They could lose those toys. And the moment they're gone, what happens? They could go, Mom, Dad, when do I get the next one? When's the next one? Instead of realizing that, hey man, opportunities don't last forever. It's dangerous to develop this mentality that I can just waste opportunities over and over again, day after day, not go to the masjid, not learn my deen, neglect the Quran, not pray my prayers. Whatever opportunities are available to you to get closer to your Lord, and just keep saying, that's okay, I'll have another one tomorrow. That doesn't last forever. That could be true of sports. It could be true of our Arabic classes. Alhamdulillah, it could be true of our tafsir classes. We have to move beyond this TikTok version of Islam where everything has to be in 10 seconds or less. It all has to give you an emotional high, either making you laugh or making you cry. No, this is not the way Islam is supposed to be learned and taught and practiced. It's supposed to be a long-term dedication. And I emphasize the word dedication in the sense that, oh, I had plans, but I guess I have to cancel them because I'm actually dedicated to learning. I'm dedicated to improving. Now, when it comes to opportunities, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, it seems that we're living in times where one of the most neglected opportunities is marriage. And this is what I really want to focus on. How many young people are neglecting their opportunity to finally settle down, and instead they'd rather just sort of remain adolescents, children forever, flirting here and, you know, playing around there, but never really settling and getting serious. Meanwhile, we know that when the Prophet ﷺ was with the group, a group of youth from amongst the believers, he said to them, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, man istata'a al-ba'ah, falyatazawwaj. O youth, any of you that have the ability, whoever amongst you has the ability to get married, you should do so. Stop delaying and neglecting. Actually take this matter seriously. And I want to be clear, I'm not saying you should rush into marriage, because that comes with its own problems. I'm talking about taking marriage propositions seriously from an early age. It may be the case that this one wasn't a good choice, this one wasn't a good fit, but that's the beauty of starting early. You get to check each possibility, each opportunity, and you have the ability to either accept or reject, because you started from an early age. We have a large number of young men who are educated and who are making money and who could theoretically get married, and their answer is always, yeah, I'm sort of, kind of looking, you know, I am. And you're like, how? How are you looking? You know, there's so many different avenues. There's so many different ways that you could search. Which one are you? Which ones are you using? What avenues are you actually taking advantage of? Well, you know, the answer is none. I'm just enjoying my freedom right now. You know, I don't want something serious. Or they say, after flirting for years with this one, that girl, this girl, that girl, long periods of time, wasting these poor girls' time, and then saying, I'm just not ready for commitment at the moment. SubhanAllah, 20s, 30s, sometimes late 30s. The guy's like, I'm just not sure yet. Really, I've had these conversations. It's unbelievable. And it's not just the brothers. We see it on both sides. The sisters are in a similar situation. The only difference is that Islam places the burden of finances on the men. So the situation becomes even more strange with the sisters, because you're not expected to provide the home and the cars and so on and so forth. No. And yet still you find this idea of, I value my freedom. So I have a question. When nobody wakes you up in the morning, and when nobody waits for you at night, and when you could do whatever you want, what do you call it? Do you call it freedom or do you call it loneliness? What do you call it? And another question is, what is the result? What is the result of this constant delaying of marriage? Well, the result of searching for somebody early. Let's look at both sides of the equation. You can either search early, which is what the Prophet is encouraging, or you could keep delaying and wait to the last minute. So what is the result of searching early? When you search early, you have the opportunity to see many different options and finally choose what is the best option. And then, mashallah, we see that when our sisters get married to the best option possible, they become very happy couples. And then you see that the sister fully loves and respects her husband. And when she's around him, she acts all bubbly and playful, like she's back in high school. It's a beautiful thing to see, young love. And when she wants to make plans with her friends, with a big smile, she says what? Wait, I gotta check with my husband. I gotta check with my husband. It's very beautiful to see that she's so willing and so happy to take his lead. She clearly looks up to him. And this is natural. You can even observe it in small children, subhanAllah. Even, I remember observing little kids. Sometimes, you know, even they're so small, but they still have these attractions towards one another. They don't fully understand it yet, but they have these feelings towards the opposite gender. And you can see that despite the fact that nobody has taught them about gender dynamics, nobody taught them about this is the way you flirt or something like this, you find that young boys naturally try to make themselves bigger, try to be faster, try to be stronger. I'm going to climb the tree. I'm going to show her that I can do a lot more stuff. Meanwhile, on the flip side, you see that the girls become more dainty, more soft. They make themselves small. They soften their voice. Nobody taught them how to do this. Nobody told, okay, young boy, this is what you do, and young girl, this is what you do. SubhanAllah, it's amazing the nature that is built in to the human being. What is she doing? She's signaling that she wants to submit to him. She's letting him know that this is what she wants. And again, this is not taught behavior, it's just natural. Many times I've seen, even to such an extent, it's amazing, where you see that the couple, they're so in love that, SubhanAllah, this young lady, she wants to follow him in everything. They go out for dinner, somebody makes a joke. If the husband starts laughing, she's gonna laugh too. If he doesn't laugh, she doesn't laugh either. And I sit there, I think, SubhanAllah. They didn't have a pre-dinner plan, like, all right, listen, this is the game plan. If I laugh, then you can laugh, and if I don't, then you don't. No, it's not like that. It's just natural. It happens so automatically, so naturally. Why? Because she's just, without even thinking, wanting to follow him in everything. This is the nature. And yet, on the flip side, what happens when you delay? What happens when you delay? It forces our sisters to make a last-minute rushed decision. A phenomenon known amongst the sisters as settling. I'm sure you've heard the term before. Settling. As in settling for a guy that wasn't their first choice, somebody that they didn't really like, but they just chose to take to marry him anyway. Maybe their sisters, cousins, etc., friends were getting married and having kids, so they just said, okay, I gotta settle. Ya waylatana. Oh, woe to us. Woe to us if we deal with such a situation. Why? Because it's observable. It's obvious. When the man walks in, her mood darkens. Whenever he speaks, she rolls her eyes. Whenever she hears the word of something about Islam, talking about following the man, or even the word housewife, you could tell that there's a stomach turning going on. No, 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 I don't like these things. And if ever she'll oppose him on any small thing. The guy could look outside and say, oh, it's raining. She'll say, it's drizzling. You know, just for no reason, just letting him know. No. Just to oppose him. And it's a very sad situation. But it's actually quite common. Why? Because we're living in a society that encourages delay, 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 and then a choice at the last minute. What is the effect of this? What is the domino effect of picking your second option? Well, it's unfortunate to watch young men starting to come up with theories. They start to hypothesize. They start to try to justify why they're living in this type of a relationship. So they look at human history and they say, no, all of human history was wrong about gender. And then they look at every civilization, every culture, and they say, all that stuff is outdated, times have changed, men are no longer in charge, you know, men and women are equal in the relationship, that's what it is, brother, and they start to justify this to themselves. And then you tell them, what about religion? Oh, all the religions are wrong. No, it's incorrect. Every religion, every time apparently God sent a revelation, it was incorrect. And then what about couples therapists? What about psychology? No, they're all wrong too. Okay, what about Kalam Allah, God's word itself? No, 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 we have to reinterpret it for modern times, brother. SubhanAllah. You have to be a little bit rough, a little bit harsh, but loving. Put your hand on the guy's shoulder, miskeen, this poor bichara, and let him know, look, you want to pretend that all of human relationships have changed, that human nature has changed, that even God's eternal guidance has changed, and all of it must be broken down and reconstructed from the ground up just because you can't accept the blatant fact you weren't her first choice. It's just that simple. Her biological clock was ticking, so she settled for you, end of story. And now the rest of it, all this reinterpretation of history, all this re-understanding of how the world works, it's called coping. You were simply the last item on the shelf. Sorry, bro. It's very painful to let somebody know and to watch such a phenomenon. But brothers, sisters, all of this can be avoided if you just take marriage a little more seriously and stop delaying and figure out who is the right fit for you. Just because you never got the girl that values you doesn't mean that you have to poison everybody else's thinking to feel better about yourself. All this pain can be avoided if we stop this coping and we just start earlier. There's a great quote that says, the most dangerous person to be with is someone who doesn't want to love you, but doesn't want to lose you either. SubhanAllah. It's very true. It's a very painful reality. It's a very painful feeling to find out that you have value for somebody that they don't have the same value for you. But sometimes you have to acknowledge it. And so, inshallah ta'ala, we'll conclude with some remarks in the second khutbah wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam sim kathira. Bismillah, bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So, let's take a look at this from a Quranic perspective. Many people here, I'm sure, have learned, have memorized surahs 65 and 66. Surah 65 is Surah At-Talaq. 66 is Surah At-Tahrim. These two surahs are right next to each other. And they have certain commonalities. Let's take a look at the first ayah of both of them, because truly it is remarkable to appreciate the wisdom just in the paralleling of these two ayat. Allah Ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن وأحصوا العدة واتقوا الله ربكم. Allah Ta'ala says, can everybody move forward a little bit? Can everybody make some space? Can everybody scoot forward a little bit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, when you Muslims divorce, then divorce them for their waiting period and keep count of the waiting period and fear Allah your Lord. This surah goes on to describe how you have to have taqwa of Allah, how you have to do ma'ruf, how you have to be good towards them, and so on and so forth. Now, let's take a look at Surah Tahrim. Allah Ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي لما تحرم ما أحل الله لك تبتغي مرضات أزواجك والله غفور رحيم. O Prophet, why do you prohibit for yourself what Allah has made lawful for you, seeking the approval of your wives, and Allah is forgiving and merciful? When you take these two surahs together and take a look at the lesson between both, it's truly remarkable. Yes, it's very obvious that they both begin with, O Prophet. And yes, both are obviously talking about marriage issues. However, something you may not notice is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually talking about two opposite circumstances. When things are at their worst and when things are at their best. What do I mean? Well, Surah Al-Talaq is about a time where the Prophet ﷺ was so frustrated with his wives that he took a break from them, from being around them, and some people even believe that maybe he divorced them, but no, that wasn't the case. He just needed some time alone. So clearly this is at an emotional low, very frustrated, very upset with the circumstance. Can we all relate? Of course, there are moments where you're going to be frustrated in a marriage. Now, Surah At-Tahrim begins with the story of when the Prophet ﷺ was getting a gift of honey from one of his wives, and then two other wives, they said, you know what, let's create a little story. Let's say that the honey is giving him a smell. So we say, oh, we don't like this smell. And because things are going so good, and because we're so in love, and because he's so nice and always wants to make us happy, he'll say, you know what, I'm never going to have that stuff ever again. No problem, just to make you happy. So one is at an emotional low, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you are in the worst of circumstances in marriage, still make sure you are moderating yourself. Don't become a monster. Don't start violating somebody's rights. Don't violate her rights. Make sure you be a good person, even if you're at your worst. On the flip side, even if you're at your best, don't allow her to take your rights. Even if you're at your best and you're so happy and you feel like this is the greatest relationship, she might start saying, I don't like when you do this and I don't like when you do that. And you might start compromising your own rights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoa, whoa, slow down. You might be in a great relationship, but you're allowed to have honey. And you can imagine, obviously, if the Prophet ﷺ actually officially stopped eating it, honey, then this would be inside of our fiqh books. And from then on forward, every Muslim scholar would have a chapter on why we don't eat honey anymore. And subhanAllah, it would be a big problem because obviously honey is very good for you. Surah Al-Nahl talks about how it's a shifa, it's beneficial, etc. So this would be a big problem. So it's really quite fascinating to notice that yes, Surah Al-Talaq is about marriage when it's at its worst, when the marriage is falling apart and you're at an emotional low, that most of the time, some men might violate a wife's rights. Even the most righteous person can fall into this because he's so emotionally charged, he might be susceptible to making this mistake. Even the Prophet ﷺ is being told, watch out, moderate yourself. You may be upset, but don't cross her boundaries. She has rights. Good. And on the flip side, Surah Tahrim is about the best of times. When you and your wife are madly in love, it can be the case that she makes demands that violates your rights, and you will just go along with it because you're just so happy to make her happy. Even the most righteous person can be susceptible to this. Even the Prophet ﷺ is being told, at that moment, moderate yourself. Lows, don't let it go too low. Highs, don't let them go too high. Always be moderate. You may feel fine, but don't let her cross your boundaries. SubhanAllah. I'm sure we've all seen examples of both extremes. I'm sure we've seen divorces where the guy becomes extremely petty, starts spreading rumors, gets a lawyer, tries to take away her money and her rights and so forth. And on the other side, I'm sure we've all seen seemingly healthy relationships where the guy has no basic autonomy. The guy has no ability to even say, hey, my brother is in town, and I think I want to go have a coffee with my own brother. I haven't seen him in years. And she's like, what? You're going to leave me alone in the house? Don't you know that that hurts my feelings? Don't you really love me? Okay, never mind. Calls up the brother. Listen, I know I haven't seen you in like 10 years, but I can't even go get a coffee with you. SubhanAllah. What is this? This is madness. This is completely unacceptable. Okay, they're asking to move forward. If everybody can, again, make some more space. Bismillah. We've got a lot of people at the back that don't have any space. Therefore, in conclusion, it might seem paradoxical, but we have to recognize that opportunities, they don't abound forever. We have to jump on opportunities when they are available. We might feel like exercise makes you feel weak, but it's actually what makes you stronger. Learning something new might make you feel unintelligent, when actually it's making you smarter. Facing your fears might make you feel terrified, but it's actually what's making you braver. And sometimes, in order for her to truly be happy, you have to say no. And so we have to moderate ourselves. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who focus on marriage early on, so we don't make a rushed decision, that we can have fitting relationships where the both parties truly love one another. Ya Allah, protect us from violating the rights of our spouses. Ya Allah, protect us from our spouses violating our rights. Ya Allah, allow our youth to search early so they can find a good that they can find a good and loving and fitting relationship, and so that they can take their time and find someone who is best suited for them. Ya Allah, keep us away from miserable relationships. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa aafina fi man aafayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adayt, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt, rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab al-nar, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, sami kathira, wa aqim as-salah.